Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show, second hour. Program is, as always, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Jim off this week, as you know, I'm filling in today and tomorrow. I was here yesterday as well. It's great to be here. And I say this a lot, but I mean it. It is an absolute thrill and an honor to be doing this. Would love to hear from you. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at haveatake.com. Jim on Twitter at Jim Rome. JimRome.com. I'm on there, Sports Writer. Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. It's my last name. We're going to visit with Terrence Paylor and Chipper Jones and Warren Moon over the next few hours. And in just a moment here, we're gonna talk to my buddy Rob Dibble, hit some Major League Baseball. I've got two bets that are out there that are not looking particularly good. One's looking better than the other. I put not much. I put like $20 down, small amount of money, on the Red Sox to win the AL pennant 3 weeks ago. And when I was in Vegas doing my show that I do in the evening, 6 to 10 Eastern, here on CBS Sports Radio, and I got them at 10 or 11 to 1, and they promptly lost 8 games in a row. Feels like that season is over. Feels like that season is over. But we'll see. And my cubby. So we'll see whether Dibs, you know, thinks either of those teams have a chance or a hope or a prayer. Rob Dibble, my friend, what's going on, man?
How are you, Bill?
I'm doing great, dude. I was just saying, I was one of these guys who was convinced the Red Sox were going to figure it out, turn it around, get in the wild card, and who knows what happens if they rode sail in that game. Is it too early? Can we pronounce their season officially over yet?
No. Mathematically, there's still 20 teams that have a lot of hope, wild card, division winners. So the Red Sox, the offensive teams in baseball, people don't know, Rafael Devers is having an MVP season, leads I think, the major leagues in hits. But J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, you know, all those guys, Xander Bogaerts, all having great years. The pitching staff just haven't pulled their weight. And a lot of it has to do with the bullpen. And my biggest thing is, Bill, they've never defined the roles of anybody in that bullpen the entire season. And to come to work every day and be like, do I have the seventh inning tonight? Do I have the ninth inning tonight? I mean, Workman and Barnes and all the other guys. So, you know, that's something that they should have nailed down months ago. And they still, even the other night, I didn't know when they took the lead if who was going to close the game out. So, for me, I watch every one of their games, every Yankee-Met game. And, you know, those teams have defined roles, and they're doing much better.
Rob Dibble here on the show. Dibs, Chris Sale, his velocity was down early in the year, first few starts. It's back. Feels like it's back where it's supposed to be. But he's not looked sharp. Do you have any sense of whether or not you think he's hurt? And as I ask that question, you know, because as a media guy, we ask that question a lot. When you were playing, how common was it for guys to be gutting through scenarios, injury situations, where they knew they couldn't play as well as they wanted to, but that was just the way it was?
Well, for pitchers, every day. Every day you didn't feel right. Every day your arm was sore, your leg was sore, your knee was sore. You know, your neck might get up, but you got to figure it out. And he's got 4 out of 5 days to try to figure it out. Maybe he's throwing in between starts. Maybe he should stop. Maybe he's not throwing in between. I don't know. Because I'm not there. But, you know, just because something works 1 year doesn't mean it's going to be perfect the next year. Look at Verlander a few years ago. He struggled for a couple of seasons, still had decent numbers, and then all of a sudden when it all came back together, the last 3-4 years he's been unhittable. So I think it's more a question of it's not just Chris. Porcello has been rough all year. You know, David Price had a couple of great months. Then he's had a couple of bad outings. You know, it's just everybody isn't having career years, and because you're the world champs, I think you have to bring your A game every day. And every team in that division, whether it's the Blue Jays, whether it's Baltimore, that's having a bad year, but they go out and they play hard. Tampa Bay's having another fantastic year on half the payroll, quarter of the payroll that the Yankees and Red Sox spend. You can't really look at one or two guys. A lot of guys feel like crap every day at this point in the season, and a lot of other teams are going through injuries. Look at the Astros all year, the Dodgers all year, and they're still playing well together.
Rob Dibble here on the show. Dibs, I'm a big believer in doing this job and the other jobs that I have, that when I'm wrong, I just gonna own it. You know, not pretend or ignore it. I mocked the Mets for the Stroman deal, and I was way off because they just keep winning baseball games. What do you, and you just said you watch all the Mets games. What do you make of this run that they're on?
Well, you know what? I love Dave Island as a pitching coach, but he didn't see some easy things, easy fixes with Syndergaard and Wheeler. And the Stroman deal, I always loved him. That's why I wanted the Yankees or the Red Sox or anybody to get him. He's a headstrong kid. He's a Duke-educated kid. He came in there, and he was like the not the knowledge, but he was kind of like the rallying point for that team. They have a lot of young players. McNeil's young. Alonso's young. You know, so some of these younger players needed more leadership. DeGrom's kind of, you know, he doesn't have that many years in the major league. Syndergaard, some of these guys. So having leadership is huge. They bought into Phil Regan. What is he, 82, 83 years old? I'm sure that the young guys that never heard of him were like, what is this guy going to teach me? Then they listened. Then they actually saw some success. And now they're all, like, on the same page, and it's exciting to watch.
Dibs, these guys are 1.5 games back of that final wild card spot. And I know St. Louis, Milwaukee, I mean, there's some good team. If the Cubs fall out of their divisional lead, they'll swap places with St. Louis or Milwaukee. Are you buying on whatever today is, August 7th or 8th, wherever we are you buying the Mets as a playoff team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can start just with their rotation. And just DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Wheeler, I can put them up against Greinke, you know, Cole, and Verlander and expect to win. Because that's, you should be expecting to win. You and I have had this conversation many times. You're hired and paid every year to win a championship. You're not going out there for personal glory. You're not going out there to win a Cy Young. Your job is to figure it out how to win night in and night out. When they swept that doubleheader and Alonso hit that home run, that showed me a lot more character than I saw the entire year. That you could be dragging it out the second game. A lot of times you split doubleheaders because you're tired in that second game. They had all the fight they needed to win that second game. That's the kind of stuff the Yankees have been doing all year, Dodgers, Astros, you know, Cubs to some extent, Brewers, the good teams. When you feel your worst, you still find a way to win. So with that rotation, they need to play better defense. They haven't played great defense all year. They need better base running, but those are coachable things. I put that illness on the coach. That's not the players. So if they buy into, hey, guys, we need to be better defensively. We need to be better out there, you know, on the base paths and stuff like that. I think the pitching will hold up. The closers have to do their job, and they have a shot to get to the wild card.
Dibs, you brought up, you know, the idea of Stroman coming in. I was thinking, I know Greinke didn't pitch great last night, but he got the win. I was thinking about what you referenced yesterday. I was just sort of pondering how Verlander goes to Houston from Detroit and goes from being, you know, serviceable, fine, to a Cy Young Award candidate every single year. Whether it's Greinke now in Houston, the Verlander example, the fact that you've got these guys now in New York City with Stroman coming to the mix, how much of a lift is it for pitchers to be surrounded by other guys that they're not just teammates with, but that competitive thing where you watch a guy go out there and be great? Does it make a difference? Does it impact a talented pitcher when he's around other talented pitchers?
No, absolutely, because he understands what his role is. And Verlander understands, I'm probably going to face another number one when I go out there, meaning the other team's ace. So he's doing better than people may think. So usually he's getting the top dog. He's got to take that guy out and set the tone for the rest of a series. If they've lost a couple of games, he's got to be the closer. He's got to stop the losing streak. Start a winning streak. He also is on an all-star team. That's one of the best teams in baseball. So he knows defensively, offensively, with the fan base, you know, it's a win-win-win situation as long as I do my job, and he's been fantastic. Same thing for Gerrit Cole. You go from Pittsburgh to the Astros, you're going from, okay, a good team to a great team.
Rob Dibble here on
offense, pitching staff. You know, when you look at the Red Sox or the Dodgers, those are all-star teams. So when you get on that team, it should motivate you to go out there and do your best.
Dibs, Rob Dibble here on the Jim Rome Show with Bill Ryder. That's me filling in. John Lester got destroyed yesterday. I think he gave up 10 earned runs. I stopped keeping track as a Cubs fan. Is that just a bad outing, or is that a reason for Cubs fans to start being concerned in a pretty competitive division?
No, I'm never concerned when a guy gets hammered because it's just one bad start. If it's three or four in a row, then I start to panic because then I'm looking at is his breaking stuff biting or is it just flat? Are his changeups really going down or are they just sitting there in the hitting zone? Are they getting more of the bottom of the ball than the top of the ball? Then he's not doing his job of hitting the knee. So there's a lot of things that I look at, not just from, you know, three or four or five bad innings. I look at about three, four, five bad outings. And then if I'm a pitching coach or I'm his teammate, I'm like, dude, you got to make some adjustments. You know, you're better than this. So his teammates have to police him, and he's good enough to go out there and make the adjustments. I teach young kids all the time, Bill, you got to be your own pitching coach out there. If you throw two high fastballs, like letter high in a row, that third pitch better be at the knees, or I don't think you're trying.
That's interesting. Rob Dibble on the show. All right, Dibbs, last one for you. Astros, Dodgers, you want to get crazy and go somebody else. Who's the best team in baseball?
Wow. August 7th? Yep. They're all really good, the ones that are leading their divisions. The Twins are still really good. They are unbelievable with the power that they have in the middle of that lineup. They could get hot in the postseason. I was disappointed they didn't go out and get a better starter. Like, even a Mike Minor would have really helped the Twins. But, nah, there's no doubt. I like the Astros' rotation. I like the Dodgers' rotation. When Kershaw's your third best pitcher, you're doing really well.
So is that a Dodgers? I'm trying to pin you down. It's an unfair question.
I wouldn't pick the Dodgers if you were paying me to pick the Dodgers. I'd still go with the Astros.
I understand. Rob Dibble, my friend, thanks for the time, brother.
No problem, Bill. Take care.
See you, dude. Dibs on Twitter at RobDibble49. Here's a great Dibble story. When I was doing radio somewhere else when I first started out several years ago and Rob had a national show there, I was a fill-in guy. And I came in and worked with Dibs and never met Dibble. And Dibble's a big guy. Like, you know, you see the story, you see the video. He's also one of the nicest guys in the world. And we do the show. It's fine. He turns to me. He's like, do you like bourbon? I'm like, I like bourbon, sir. Whatever you say. Dibble brought me three cases of bourbon the next day. People just send Dibble stuff. And he's like, I don't drink bourbon. So I lived off that for years. Rob Dibble, bad boy of baseball. Incredibly, incredibly nice dude. Appreciate his time. We're going to go from one ball player to another. Chipper Jones, the Hall of Famer. We got him. We tracked him down. We'll talk just general majors, but I want to talk some Braves with Chipper. We'll do that in a minute here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in when we continue next on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 5-minute break.
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Thank you for being here. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim today and tomorrow and yesterday. 1-800-636-8686, RomanHaveATake.com. And we are joined now by the Hall of Famer, Chipper Jones. Chipper, what's going on, man? Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to talk to you today.
Dude, how cool is it you go on the radio, whatever, whenever you go, that it's not Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer Chipper Jones. Does that get old?
No, it doesn't. It's always, you know, around the house today, I'm just dad. So to be addressed as, HOF before or after is nice to hear and quite an honor.
It would be cool if your kids were like, hello, Hall of Famer Daddy, but that's probably asking too much.
Yeah, to me, I'm just, well, heck, I got seven boys, so a couple of my boys can't even say dad yet. We're having fun with it, though.
It's cool, dude. Chipper Jones here on the show. So Chipper, you know, I know the big headlines nationally, or the biggest headline at the trade deadline was Zach Greinke to the Astros, which is obviously a hell of a move for Houston. But your Braves, they really shored up that bullpen. What did you make of the front office's decision-making and moves at that deadline?
Well, it definitely sends a message that, the front office is behind the team, which, you know, they should be. The Braves have played extremely well all season. And, I would say that there are very few teams in baseball looking at it objectively that don't have some kind of hole somewhere, whether it's you know, the back end of the bullpen, whether it's bridging the gap from starter to closer, you know, bench depth, all these things, somebody has a hole somewhere. And, you know, the Braves did their best to try and, you know, address their hole. I know things haven't exactly gotten off to the best of starts for the guys that have come over, you know, other than maybe Melanson, who's pitched really well in his one or two outings. But the fact of the matter is they have proven guys down at the end of the bullpen now that hopefully can eat up 6, 8, 9, 10 outs, you know, at the end of a game to help the Braves, you know, close out games. Because, I mean, let's face it, I would have to say at least probably once a week, you know, through the Braves' first 2.5, 3 months, the bullpen was the direct cause of, you know, a blown lead, a blown save, a loss here and there. And now hopefully we don't have that problem as much as we did early in the season.
Chipper Jones here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. You referenced some of the guys now with the best start. Zach Greinke got the win last night for Houston in his debut. He didn't pitch particularly well. The Cubs went out and got a couple guys, and Castellanos, and one, I think it was his first or second game, Chipper, ran the Cubs out of an inning trying to steal third base. I mean, whatever, it happens, but sort of uncharacteristic. In your experience watching guys who were traded, came into your clubhouse after the deadline, talking to guys, is there a nerves factor, no matter how talented you are, when you go into a ball club with some expectations in the middle of the season?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I think it's, you know, the feeling of being a hired gun, the feeling of being the savior of the ball club is very real. It never happened to me personally, but I certainly, you know, we had guys come in, whether it be, you know, early in my career, a Mike Devereaux or a Luis Polonia, a bat off the bench, or, you know, in the middle of my career when Mark Teixeira came over and, you know, we would sit and talk and he's like, man, there's a lot of pressure here because, you know, I'm supposed to be hitting in the middle of the lineup and hitting homers. I'm like, Mark, the game is not played any differently here in Atlanta than it was in Texas. You know, 27 outs, 4 balls, 3 strikes. Don't overthink it, bro. Just do the things that you've always done to make you successful, and you know, you'll do just fine. And I think, you know, once you kind of dumb things down and break it down as simply as you can, if you can keep the guys from trying to do too much, normally those are the guys that have the most success when they go to a new ball club.
And, Chipper, I would imagine as a position player of your stature, you're able to have that conversation. For a pitcher, whose role is it to pull aside Zach Greinke or a guy in a bullpen and have that same conversation? Can a position player have that talk with a pitcher, or is it one of the guys in that bullpen or in that starting rotation that are welcoming committee?
Usually, constructive conversations go better position player to position player and pitcher to pitcher. They usually position players, you know, trying to tell pitchers how to do things usually doesn't work. And I know for damn sure from a position player standpoint, it doesn't come across very well coming from a pitcher. We had a really good dynamic in our clubhouse. John Smoltz would always come to me if there was some concern for a position player, and I would address it with said position player and vice versa whenever I had, you know, an issue with something on the pitching side. I would go to him, and he would address it with the pitcher. So I really think it's kind of, you know, let's say Greinke's over in Houston. You know, that constructive criticism will probably come better from a Verlander as opposed to an Altuve, you know. But if, you know, Verlander had a problem with Springer or something like that, maybe he'd go to Altuve and Altuve would address it. So that's normally how it works in big league clubhouse.
Pretty interesting. I got to tell you, I'm taking whatever advice Chipper Jones or John Smoltz give me. It'd be my life. I'm just like, yes, sir, Mr. I like John. John's cool, but that's an intense dude.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. You try and lead by example. You try and you want, when you speak you don't want people to roll their eyes at you. So when you speak, really have something impactful to say. Don't do it every day. I think the last thing people want to hear is you getting up on your soapbox and preaching every single day of a, you know, a 200-day season. That gets old real fast. And I think the more and more you go out there every single day and lead by example and be a big, you know, be one ninth of the equation that helps win ball games, the more respect you garner.
Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer here on the show. Chipper, it's the NL Central is really interesting, and I know we got some baseball to be played, but the wild card race, when you kind of look at that, is really fascinating. Washington and Philly are currently in that spot, but the Mets just keep winning games. They're in it. St. Louis and Milwaukee, at least for the moment on the outside, looking in their division, are in it. When you see these teams, are there a couple that for you think have an advantage down the stretch? And, you know, part of that question, are you buying the Mets maybe as a playoff team all of a sudden?
Oh, I buy the Mets. I buy the Mets very seriously by the second. Now, granted, they've won their last six or seven against Pittsburgh, who kind of mailed it in a month or so ago, and then Miami. But let me tell you something. When you're rolling out DeGrom, Wheeler, Syndergaard, Stroh, Mats, I mean, there is not a better starting rotation in the big leagues, 1 through 5. And that includes, you know, the Astros, who I think most people would say with the acquisition of Greinke probably moved to the top of the line, the top of the list as far as top contenders for the World Series. Nobody wants the Mets to get in the playoffs for fear of who they're going to have to face every single time, you know, whoever takes the mound for the Mets. Those guys are all pitching extremely well right now. You're starting to see Alonso hit homers again, really carry the offense. I'm a little concerned with Cano going down for pretty much the rest of the regular season with that hamstring. But this is a team that's riding really high right now. I feel the same way about the Nationals with their big three, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin. They can extend any National League team in a 5 or 7 game series. So, you know, when you really look at the wild card, those are my two favorites right now. But hey, you know, St. Louis always seems to make a push there in September. So that wouldn't shock me either. But, you know, if you're talking about a team that could really extend the best team in the National League, that being the Dodgers right now, I look at the Mets and the Nationals as having the biggest opportunity to be able to extend them to, a full 5 games.
Chipper Jones on the Jim Rome Show. Chipper, last one for you. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but if the Dodgers and the Braves played one another in the postseason, in NLCS or wherever it might be, that Dodgers team we know offensively, it's a murderer's row, and
yeah.
Clayton Kershaw probably has the third best stuff in that starting rotation. Bullpen's a little right. weak, but how do you think the Braves match up against that Dodgers team if that series does come to fruition down the road?
It's pretty simple. I think if you can keep the Los Angeles Dodgers in the ballpark, you got a chance. The Braves played the Dodgers here a while back in the playoffs. And quite frankly, you know, I believe it's last year or the year before, they couldn't keep them in the ballpark. And it seemed like they hit homers early in games to set the tone and, really took the Braves out of their, out of their game plan. If they can keep the Braves are going to have to play really well. The Braves are going to have to, their starting pitchers are going to have to keep them in games, and hopefully the Braves hitters can extend the Dodgers starters and hopefully get in their bullpen, because, like we said, just as the Braves addressed, their weaknesses, the Dodgers, they have a little bit of trouble bridging the gap from starter to Kenley Jansen, their closer. So it's going to take a really, really well-played series for the Braves to do it, but hey, man, this is baseball, anything can happen. And as long as you get to the postseason, give yourself an opportunity, good things, can and will happen.
Chipper Jones, a Hall of Famer. Appreciate the time. And as a father of two, one girl, one boy, I love my son. But let me just say this, man. All those boys you have, God bless you, sir. That's a lot of work, dude. That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, it is. But we're having fun with it here in the Jones family. We've got a lot of baseball players here. And I'm working on maybe one more. We'll see if I can become all-time pitcher for the Jones family baseball team.
You can feel the team, Chipper Jones. Hey, thanks for making time.
All right, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, dude. You too. Chipper Jones on the show. Eight Jones kids. Just field their own. Seven boys. I love my son. Henry, I love you. Madeline, I love you too. But boys, man, that's a seven boys. Hall of Fame dad and Hall of Fame baseball player. Good stuff from Chipper. Love the insight. And we're going to go from one great guest to another. We're going to transition to some NFL talk. I'm telling you, Trez Paylor, I've known Trez a long time. One of the absolute best NFL writers in the country now, doing his thing for Yahoo Sports. We're going to get his perspective on the Chiefs. Used to cover the Chiefs at the Kansas City Star. And just hit a lot of topics from around the NFL when we come back to the Jim Rome Show with me, Bill Ryder, filling in just after this CBS.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Here's a how far you've come moment. Not that long ago, feels like, I was driving around Kansas City, Missouri, listening to Jim Rome as one of you clones, and occasionally having some Caddyshack pizza with a very talented young sports writer named Trez Paylor, who worked at the Kansas City Star along with me. Now I'm filling in for Jim, and I'm talking to Trez Paylor, one of the absolute best NFL writers in the country, a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, formerly of the Star, now at Yahoo Sports. TP, man, how did we get here, buddy?
Oh, how's it going, man? I'm just like you, in a way. Grew up listening to Jim Rohn. It's a pleasure to be on. Been a long time clone, man, so let's rock this thing.
I love it, dude. All right, so I was bragging on you earlier. Thank you again for the domination you placed in my hands in my fantasy football leagues. You called Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago, and you've been spot on for the most part as you have assessed guys coming out of college in the NFL draft. When you look at the cluster of young quarterbacks this year, Baker Mayfield included, Deshaun Watson included, is there anybody that you like? Maybe not a Mahomes-like leap, but that you think is poised for a huge season, young quarterback in the NFL this upcoming year?
Yeah, I feel really good about Baker Mayfield. I just left Berea, Ohio. Seeing him live, you can see that the ball is really coming out of his hand really well. Like, he's only 6'1", but the ball's coming out with some heat. He's accurate. Now that he's been a starter for half the season, like, he's, like, commanding the huddle and his teammates the way you want a quarterback to do. It's very alpha. I'd be really shocked if he didn't have a big season. I think that he's going to be the reason that the Browns have their first winning record for the first time in 11 seasons. I think that he's about to ascend right up into that, like, top one or two tiers here for quarterbacks. So I feel pretty good about Baker Mayfield. And I'm telling you, Kyler Murray's special. He's little, and he looks little on the field, but he's a much better passer than people think. He actually throws – he has an understanding of – route concepts and all that, and what defenses are trying to do. He has an understanding of it, and he's also pretty accurate. As a thrower, he was actually really good last season for Oklahoma. Everybody always talks about his athletic ability, but he's actually just a pretty complete quarterback. So, yeah, you're a little worried about the size, and you're definitely going to want to have a good backup, but I think Kyler Murray, especially in that offense, they'll throw it around some. I feel pretty good about him.
Trez Paylor here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. Trez, you're going from training camp to training camp to training camp. Have you had time yet to watch Hard Knocks?
You make time for Hard Knocks, especially when John Gruden's going to be on there doing his thing and mentioning the Blue Bonnet Bowl and, the cast of characters they've got on the show. Yeah, I found time to watch it last night, and I actually did enjoy it. It was a lot of fun.
All right, do you want to try to talk me into changing my mind and believing in John Gruden and or the Raiders?
Not in 2019.
Okay.
You know, I think that they're just getting their program really going. I do think Mike Mayock has a good eye for talent, though, And I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, he'll potentially curb some of Gru's impulses, right? And I think that's important. You know, Mike Maddox, someone who's respected, I think he's got a chance. So I think they're going to get good talent in the building. But the thing to remember, too, is that they got a long time to get it done. Like, that 10-year contract is for real, Jack. So, you know, I don't think that they're going to have a winning record this year, and I don't think that, you know, they're going to push to win the AFC West. But I do think they'll be better because it is a more talented team. And I think if you give Mike Mayock a couple more drafts, you know, this could be a team that's ready to challenge a little bit. But, you know, they can't try to speed up the process artificially. I think it's just got to come. One thing you got to remember when you draft all these rookies, rookies typically stink. They just do. So, you know, this is going to be a process, and I think it's okay if it's a process as long as they don't try to speed up their timeline by giving up on young players too fast or trading for veterans and trying to pair them with young players who aren't quite ready to win yet.
Trez Paylor here on the show, Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with Charles Robinson, and like me, an alum of the Kansas City Star. And Trez, like a lot of places, you're very connected with that Chiefs organization. And I was surprised when Dan Orlovsky told me this a few weeks ago that as great as Mahomes was, that statistically he was a subpar passer throwing to open guys last year, which presumably he's going to be able to improve upon. We know there's been some drama off the field. We know that there's no Kareem Hunt, though that was true at the end of the season last year. What are your expectations for Mahomes trying to follow up what was a pretty historic beginning to his career as a starter last year?
Another huge season. I don't really buy into regression. I think that he's come back in unbelievable shape. The practices I've checked out, he's been fantastic. He has got an advanced knowledge of the system and ball placement and chemistry with his receivers and offensive linemen. I think he's going to have another monster season, whether he throws an open guy or not. In some ways, his improvisational ability is what makes him special in a lot of ways. So, you know, I don't really care how he's getting 50 touchdowns or 5,000 yards. He doesn't need to hit the open man every time to do that. Like, he's doing it his way. So as long as you've got that type of production, which also makes it harder for you to game plan for, I think it's fine. And trust and believe the Chiefs aren't going to try to coach that out of him, okay? They're just trying to help him continually get better because he's just 23 and there's still areas he can improve in. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road, they're not going to be like, you know, there's not going to be, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth because he decided to bypass an open guy.
Talking to Trez Paylor here on the show. They were a one penalty away from a Super Bowl. They were probably, almost certainly, a coin flip going a different way from a Super Bowl. They have a new defensive coordinator, Trez, and I would imagine their defense can't get much worse. What are your expectations for the Chiefs in a macro sense and in that division this upcoming season?
Well, I definitely think they'll be in the AFC Championship game again. And what happens from there is going to basically depend on the defense. Remember, they almost made the Super Bowl last year with arguably the league's worst defense, a group that couldn't get a stop, a single stop on 3rd and 10 three times in overtime on the game-deciding drive. So I think if the Chiefs' defense can improve from 31st to, like, 20th, I think they're going to the Super Bowl. And I think there's a chance that happens. They believe in Frank Clark. I think he could be the defensive player of the year this year. You know, they're going to have kind of their impact safety actually on the field. And Tyrann Mathieu, you know, they had impact safety in Eric Berry, but he was hurt. They think that those guys are going to help raise the level of the defense, hold players, especially younger players, accountable. And they think that this team is going to be – they do think this team has enough horses to get to the Super Bowl and potentially win it. Now, there's some areas of improvement needed. Yeah, sure. They want to firm up tight end? Yeah. Cornerback? Sure. But there's time to do that. I think we've noticed that around the trade deadline, teams are a little bit more willing to trade than they used to be. So, you know, I don't think that this is the final version of the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs yet. But even this version as is potentially good enough to get to the Super Bowl.
Trez Paylor, one of the sexy guesses this year for prognosticators is that my Bears are going to take a big step back and that the Vikings and or the Packers might both or one of the two leap forward. You're from Detroit originally, so I don't want to exclude the Lions. What do you make of that division? What do you expect from that division?
I think it's going to be a real grinder, Bill. I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a real meat grinder in that division. I could see the Bears maybe taking a step back and one of those other teams stepping forward, but I think this is going to be one of those divisions where everybody beats up on each other. Even the team everyone's picking fourth, Detroit, they should be pretty salty. Like, they've got a good, a decent quarterback, right? And they've invested a lot of money on their defense, and they have, like, a, actually a pretty salty defensive line. So, you know, you add these things to the mix, including a young tight end I really like in T.J. Hockenson. You know, they're gonna, I think they could easily win seven games. And I think the other three teams in the division could all win the division. I think these teams are going to beat up on each other. I think it's one of those years where, like, a team wins it with a 10-6 record. And then, like, the rest of those teams, they're all, like, better than maybe, like, some wild card teams in the NFC, but they don't get in because all these teams are beating up on each other. But as far as predicting the winner of the division, I think the Vikings, Packers, and Bears all should be even odds. I think this thing's going to be – I think they're just going to beat each other up, and it's going to come down to who gets some breaks and who stays healthiest.
Dude, listen, like, listening to your answer, I just I'm literally jonesing for NFL football. I it cannot regular season games, dude, cannot come fast enough. And for fans of the Chargers and Cowboys, nor, neither can there are running backs returning to their respective teams. Who are we going to see first back to the game, back to playing, Zeke or Gordon?
I think it's Zeke. You know, at the end of the day, the Cowboys kind of know what he is for them. I think he knows kind of what. You know, they know kind of what he means to them. Their entire offense revolves around his skill set. And I think they're going to have to they're either going to have to pay the piper or they're going to make him pay for his supper. One way or another, he'll get his money. But I do think the odds of this being a positive kind of outcome for Zeke are a little greater than Melvin Gordon. You know, with the Chargers, you know, Gordon's got like a longer injury history. They've got some guys that they feel pretty good about back there. You know, without him. And, you know, the Chargers have to decide, hey, do we want to pay this guy that money? And let's remember, like, running backs have been devalued pretty good now. And the only reason you pay Ezekiel Elliott is just because he's special. And I think he's a matchup weapon. I think he's a weapon. And I think that's why you end up paying him. But, you know, Gordon's just – he's just a really good running back, but I'm not necessarily sure, like, he's someone that would just say, okay – we're going to go against conventional wisdom now and pay a running back in today's day and age that type of money. I think we're just going to have to see.
Terrence Paylor, Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast with Charles Robinson. Terrence, I've known you a long time, man. Really cool interviewing you on the show. Congrats on all your success. You deserve every single ounce of it. Happy for you, buddy, and appreciate you making time.
I can say the same thing back to you, man. You know, being on the Jim Rome show was special, and I appreciate the invite. And, you know, kudos to you, my man, because, you know, like you said, it wasn't long ago we were at the Star grinding away.
I remember. TP, talk soon, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Okay, my man.
Terrence Paylor on the show. I'm not just saying this. This guy is so good at what he does. One of these NFL writers who watches tape, who knows what he's looking at, who has the respect, having talked to some guys in front offices. Terrence is one of the best in the business, up-and-coming star, already a star. But if you don't know him, follow him on Twitter if you're an NFL fan, at Terrence Paylor is the spot. And I've always known that. I mean, TP and I, when you work in a newspaper, and literally I can remember Terrence and I sitting at this dive bar in Kansas City, great bar, Caddyshack, amazing pizza, at 2 in the morning. Terrence would have had one beer. I would have had several more, talking about Jim Rome smack off, talking about Rome, talking about, I think I had just been on Jim's show for the first time, talking about that, so it was cool. It's neat. It's cool having him on the show. And Terrence is the guy that called Mahomes. Maybe it's crazy, probably stupid, and I've got Mahomes in two of my three leagues, their keeper leagues. I am strongly considering reaching for Mahomes in my third league in my NFL draft. I just am. And I know he's a quarterback, and I know that goes against conventional wisdom. 50 touchdowns, and the guy is going to, I think, be even potentially better this year than last year. What an incredible time for the quarterback play that's out there. I know the rules protect guys, but, man, the Hall of Famers, the all-time greats who are doing their thing, Aaron Rodgers, where he's at in his career, and this young crop led by Patrick Mahomes, it's going to be a really cool season. I do want to talk a little bit of NBA with you here on the show. Something happened over the last few days that just got me thinking about how much we're underselling and undervaluing the Warriors. Want to rank the two tandems in Los Angeles, Clippers and Lakers, against the trio in Golden State. We'll do that on the Jim Rome Show. With me, Bill Rutter, filling in. When we come back here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.